חודש טוב, מי שנכנס אדר מרבים בשמחה. Hopefully we'll be zocher to a real v'nahafachu this year. Okay, today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Pei Gimel. We're holding at that Halakha Mishnah in the first quarter of the daf. So we continue on to discuss how it is that we deal with our Korban Pesach. We talked about the way we have to actually do the tzliyah of the Korban Pesach, elements of Achila. Now we need to know what's something that we didn't deal with yet, and that has to do with the Shvirat Atzamot problem. I mean, we have to be very careful not to break any bones. And of course, this leads to a problem because there are marrow bones. Now, marrow bones contain meat. Marrow is considered to be edible part of the Korban Pesach. And we don't really have an easy way to get that marrow out of those bones. And because of that, we're going to have a problem of the contents of the bones becoming nosa. So this actually extends to a broader range of products that are edible but not eaten. In other words, technically speaking, they're edible. Therefore, they're the din of the bus of the Pesach. But they're not something that people can comfortably eat. And because of that, they will generally be left over. So our Mishnah wants to tell us how to deal with those substances. And at the same time, to tell us what to do, halacha lamaisa, where we do have noser, and we're not allowed to burn it on yontiv, what exactly do we do? Says the Halakha Mishnah, atzamot v'hagidin v'hanotar. Now, this is very strange. The bones and the gidim, remember that gidim in Hebrew mean basically any type of things that are stringy. So they could be nerves, they could be arteries, they could be veins, they could be what we call today sinews, which is the way that they, which was not the original meaning, by the way, which are any type of, or any type of connective tissue. All of this type of stuff is listed separately as gidim. And then there's noser, which I mean, noser simply means there was meat that you didn't get around to eating in time. And so what's the halach of all of those things? They should be burned on the 16th, because you can't burn them in the morning, as we'll see. How about if the 16th turned out to be a Shabbos? Chal tetzayin liyot b'Shabbat, so then burn them on the 17th, which is the second day of Chol HaMoed. Lefi she'ein adochin lo et haShabbat v'lo et Yom Tov. Because burning Noser is actually something that is not going to be docha, can't be done not on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov. Now, this is the obvious question is, I mean, if we're talking about Noser, is there any other reason to burn something besides the fact that it's nosa? So why are we listing separately atzamot, gidin, and nosa? The only justification we have for that kind of thing is that the chiyav is obviously a chiyav of nosa, but the concept of nosa is something that was left over. If it's something that cannot be anything but something that's left over, so then we don't include that in the same set of things of something that happened to be left over, even though obviously technically it is noser, but that's not the point. We're coming to discuss what you have to do in a practical fashion. So we talk about noser. Noser is something that happened to be left over. And then we talk about things, hey, you know, up front, you're going to have to deal with this, even if it wasn't accidentally left over, because there's nothing else to do with it anyway. It's going to be noser. So that means when we talk about atzamot v'gidin, we are referring to something that's got a problem that is mine ube. It's ipso facto set up in the beginning to need burning because it's going to be noser. So Omer of Mori bar Avu Amr of Yitzchak, now in order to get an understanding of what that's referring to, we need to examine the question of what happens to bones after the contents become noser. So, says Rav Mori bar Avu Amr Rav Yitzchak, and this is in a completely different context. He wasn't talking about this question. And what he pointed out was, is that where you have marrow bones, atzmot kochim, we're going to come out that it's talking about, that were shimshu notar, so they were marrow bones, and initially there was marrow in these bones, even if currently there's no marrow in the bone, mitam inata yadayim, they nonetheless are going to make your hands tame if you touch them. You'll recall that there was a gezeira d'rabbanan that said that just touching nosar is actually going to be metame yadayim, and they did this in order to make it more difficult for people to just forget about things that were very makbid on tumas yadayim and on any kind of tum in the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, it's as if they themselves are noser, and the chachomim goes around the bones them well as well, because of an ase basis ledavara asur, because they are those, the containers, they are the things that are holding up that noser, and they are making that noser sustainable all along, and because of that, they are considered to be accessories to the crime, so to speak. And if we, whatever dinim we're going to say about noser, we're going to say about these bones themselves. Now, if that's what Ramori Baravua said, now for the first time we begin to get an understanding of our Mishnah, because it seems that our Mishnah is proof of concept here. Because when the Mishnah says Atzamot Vagidin Vanotar Yisar Fulish Yishasar, first of all, let's figure out, when we say bones, I mean, what kind of bones are we talking about? Are we talking about non-marrow bones? The Letlu Moach? Oh, it's ridiculous. Why would I burn bones, for heaven's sakes? If they're not marrow bones, throw them in the garbage. They're not considered to be Ochlin that had the Kedusha of the Pesach on it. So that's just material that's meant to be carted away. So Nishdino, throw them out. There's no need for you to burn them. Is no, sir. They never had Kedusha. Elipshita, the Itbu Moach. So obviously what we're talking about is marrow bones, okay? Now, if you're going to admit that what we just said was true, namely, that Bishlam, if you're going to say Shimush Notar Miltahi, that it is an important issue, that something was an ancillary to Notar, okay? So then I understand why I need to burn bones, even though it's very, very difficult to do. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of work. I mean, gosh, what a crazy thing to have to do, to burn bones, these big, thick bones that are marrow bones. There's no choice in it because the bones themselves are considered to have the same din as the contents. And that's basically what we just learned that Rav Mori Baravua said. So, okay, I guess he's right. But if he weren't right, we could basically ignore the fact that they once upon a time there was notar here in these bones. Okay, who cares? So if the response to that would be who cares, so then why in the world would we go to the trouble and expense of burning the bones? All we need to do is, now that the Korban Pesach is pasul, all we need to do is break open those bones, because we'll see that we're derish later on. Etzem lo tishberu bo. Bo means bo in the kosher korban. There, etzem lo tishberu. Once the korban becomes nifsal, and over here when it's all noser, then it's nifsal. Okay, so now let me take those bones. I will crack them open. I will take out the noser moach that's in them, the marrow in the bones. I'll burn the marrow, which is easy to do, and then I'll throw out the bones in the garbage instead of going to all of this difficult expense and trouble of burning the bones themselves. Elamai must be that indeed he's right. So if we're talking, let's see it inside. Yeah, but if you're going to tell me shimush notar lav milti, so then why lamalo is straight for why burn them? Just break them, nidberinu. Take out all of the marrow. Nechlitzulamar de duv and israfe. Burn the marrow and throw out the bones. So we see that Rabbi Mori said, what Rabbi Yitzchak was quoted as having said, is that Shimush Notar, once it was Shimush Notar, there's nothing you can do about it. It won't help to take away that Notar now. Well, not necessarily. There is an alternative explanation. The alternative explanation is that it has nothing to do with the question of whether Shimush Notar is Milta. It has to do whether you are indeed allowed, as you were assuming, to break open the bones of a Korban Pesach that's pasul. Now, not necessarily is that true. If you hold that bo, Etzibot Ishbru bo, does not mean bo only in a kosher Korban Pesach, and it would include even a non-kosher Korban Pesach, so then the whole argument falls apart. Because what was the argument? Well, instead of burning the bones, just break open the bones, take out the marrow, and then throw out the bones. But if I'm not allowed to break a bone even after the korban is pasul, and even it's after the zman of achila, so then there's no argument. I can't break open the bones. So my only solution is to go ahead and burn the bones. So maybe that's all that the Mishnah means. So the olam emelach hashimush notar is not significant. Lav milti. And therefore, it's only because kasavar bo afilu bepasul. Bo doesn't mean only bekosher. It's bekosher afilo b'posel. I cannot break open those bones. Therefore, those bones are meyuchad for burning from the very beginning, because I know I'm not going to be able to get out the marrow. So instead of just calling it nosar, which of course it is, to distinguish nosar, the accidental nosar, from the things that I know up front, as soon as I'm bringing a good carbon pesach, I know I'm going to have a problem, I'm going to have to be burning those bones, the Mishnah sets aside that statement as if it's a different category, even though the mokar, of course, is the chiyuv of sreifas nosa. Excuse me, says the Gemara? But it can't mean that. How can you think that it means that it's osur to break a bone in a pasul korban pesach, where the Mishnah that we're going to be learning tomorrow says not like that? But it's not. Aval hamotir bator, someone who leaves over basar, even if he does it on purpose, and even if the carbon is tahar, and it was royal achila, but he's not going to be chayav malchus. You could use your imagination as to why. Remember, we've got that old question about lav shein bo maisa, or is it considered to be a sofik hatra'ah? Well, we'll get to that. But in any event, you're not chayav malchus on that. But what's important to us is the next piece. V'hashover b'tamei, somebody who breaks a bone of a carbon pesach that is inedible, ha, eno sefek etar bayim. You know what you see from there? That the din is that we do not hold that lo tishbru bo means even in a kosher. So clearly it's saying that there is no iser deraisa of breaking open that bone afterwards. And because of that, we do have a raya, that the only reason that we were not able to just take out the marrow after it became noser was because it wouldn't have helped, because she mushe noser milsahi, and there was, so we still have the raya that we set out to bring, right? No, says the Gemara. I insist. Bo could mean exactly what I said. It's still not a problem, because there is a difference in the Mishnah. You're right. We're talking about the case of noser, but there's a difference when the noser was kosher initially and then became pasul when it became noser. So then it's true that there is what we said initially is true. There's an iser. Even after it becomes pasul, there's an iser of shviras etzem. But in the Mishnah later that we're going to have tomorrow, it's talking about where it says you're not chayiv. That's talking about a case where you never had a shas hakosher. It's talking about tomei. So maybe it's tomei milichatchila. If it never had a shas hakosher, then it says you're not chayiv. But it could very well be that in our Mishnah, we're not talking about tomei. We're talking about a regular Pesach. So you had bones, and those things were had a shas hakosher. The moment I shechted the carbon, we did the zrikas hadam, everything was fine. At that moment, the iser of shviras etzem is chal. Now, afterwards, it becomes pasul, etzem lo tishbro is chal. I can't break it. And the only reason I'm potter in the Mishnah tomorrow is because that's talking about where there never was even a moment where it was chal, the iser of etzem lo tishbro bo, because it had to at least be a Pesach kosher. Over there was tummy. Okay. Is that for real? Absolutely. Are you just making this up as an answer? Or there's actually such an extant shita? No, definitely there is. It's, take a look at this brisa. It's Rabbi Yaakov. He clearly makes that distinction. The Tanya. The etzem lo tishbru bo. What does bo mean? So now this brayta is the mocker of our idea that we had before, that there was, which we took for granted, there'd be no problem of breaking the etzem after the korban already was nifsal because it was over on lina. By this point, it's too late to eat. And we suggested, okay, so why can't you just break open the bone? We took for granted this drosha. Etzem lo tishbru bo. When it says bo, which is not necessarily bo, I mean, obviously say etzem lo tishbru. So etzem lo tishbru bo means in the aforedescribed carbon pesach, which is a kosher carbon pesach that you're going to be sitting and eating. That's only a kosher, v'lo b'pasul. If the carbon is pasul, I have no problem, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with you breaking a bone. Rabbi Yaakov says, now, wait a minute. That's not, you can't make a blanket statement like that. What the Tanakhama means to say is that if it had a shas hakosher, and only subsequently it was nifsal, that's not included. That is bo. Etzem lo tishbru bo doesn't mean it has to be currently kosher. It has to mean it was real carbon pesach. That's absolutely true. But that's only if it wasn't, let's say, tomei from the beginning. But if it never had akshasa kosher. Lo hayta lo shata kosher. From the beginning, at the time of the zrika, was already nifsal. So then there is no iser, even according to the Tanakamo, the Tana of our Braisa, ein bo mishum shvirata etza. So we see clearly that there is such a man. The Omar, Rabbi Yaakov holds that the drosha is referring to not current status, but rather, was it a kosher Pesach ever? Rabbi Shimon says, I don't believe there's a difference. It doesn't matter whether it had a shasa kosher, doesn't have a shasa kosher. If it's currently not kosher, there's no problem with shviras etzem. Okay, so therefore we do not have a raya to the question of whether shimush notar is miltehi, because it could very easily be explained to our Mishnah as going on Libra Rabbi Yaakov, and it's talking about where it had a shasa kosher, and therefore they had no option of breaking open the bone, and therefore the whole thing has to be burned, not because shimush notar milti. Maybe, I'm saying so, we just don't know. All right, so we don't have a right. Now, meisvei. Now, the question is, we're going to attack what Rabbi Yitzchak was quoted as saying, that shimush notar is definitely milta, and actually, look at this bright. Kol atzamot kodashim ain't to unib sreifa. So over here, if you have, we're talking about not Pesach, other than a Karban Pesach. So you have bones of other kachim. You don't have to burn them, even if they have moach in them, which is nosar. Break them open. Take out the moach. I mean, don't go to all the trouble and expense of burning bones, which is so difficult. Just break them open. Take out the moach and burn the moach. And now you could just throw the bones into the garbage, right? That's true about all kachim, but not when it comes to the atzamot ha-pesach. Why can't you? Uh-oh, there he goes. Why can't you do it for atzamot ha-pesach? Because mipnei ha-takala. Now, takala over here doesn't mean what it usually means. Mipnei ha-takala usually means that we're worried that you're going to be coming lidei takala. That's not what it means over here. It means because of you would be doing a terrible thing if you would be breaking open the Korban Pesach. There's a different concept of takala. So that would be saying, since you would have to be over an Isser, we don't want you to do a takala. We don't want you to be over on an Isser. Now, let me just ask you, just to be sure we understand what was just said. Are we talking about marrow bones or not? So, haniat samot, hechidami, what type of bones are we discussing over here? Are we talking about non-marrow bones? So then why are we burning them? Throw them in the garbage. They're not considered to be part of the chiyuv of the korban anyway, right? So that would not be an issue. So obviously we are talking about marrow bones. Elapshita, to eat buhu moach. So they definitely contain marrow. Now explain to me how you just learned this difference between kachim and pesach. If you're going to tell me that shimush notar is milta, shimush notar has nothing to do with pesach or kachim, right? Shimush notar is just a general concept. Is the bone that supported the moach, is it considered to be a permanent problem because of its having been a shimush notar? That's what we were originally understanding Rabbi Yitzchak is saying. If you're going to tell me that shimush notar is milti, there's no difference between atzmot kachim and the Pesach. Because then the atzmot kachim, what are you going to do? Break them open and take off the moach. Thank you very much. And you're left with atzmot that were all shimush notar. What are you going to do with them? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, shimush notar is the same thing as notar. So you're going to have to burn them anyway. So I don't understand what it's talking about. No, said Rabbi Nachman, you don't understand. It's not talking about a case where you currently have bones that have notar in it. Then you'd be 100% right. And Rabbi Yitzchak would be absolutely justified in saying, well, of course, and it wouldn't be true. There'd be no difference between kachim and pesach, for sure. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a case over here where you found bones without marrow. And now the question is, what is incumbent on you to do? So if you found bones that were there from other kachim, were over there, some shlamim, people were bringing shlamim. So there's no iser of shviras etzem, right? So then obviously, why would we assume that these bones were broken open in order to get out the marrow to burn them as noser? What are you, crazy? The bones were broken open in order to eat them before they became noser, obviously. Where would you come up with the idea, oh my gosh, I better burn these bones because they were shimush noser? They weren't shimush noser. That's all it's saying. Masha ein kein. So over there, kamida ave notar chaltsino. Of course they were broken open before. And therefore, these bones are not Shimush. On the contrary, the whole thing is based on Rabbi Yitzchak. These bones, there's no reason for us to even assume that they were ever Shimush and Nosa. So why should I burn them? But Atzmos HaPesach, oh my gosh, if we find Atzmos HaPesach and we see that there's no Moach in them, so what do we think? That people broke them open at the time that it was Usser? Very unlikely. Over there, since Yeshmeam Shmuras Nosar, so it must be that somebody who thought that if he takes out the Moach afterwards, after the carbon is on Usser, then he'll be able to get away with only burning the Moach, and he doesn't have to burn the Atzamas. There you'll have to burn the Atzamas, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, because Shimush Nosar's Milsa. Perfect. So it has nothing to do with the din of what you know, says Reb Nachman. It has to do with the din that you need to assume. Are these Shimush Notar or are they not? But if you know the Shimush Notar, then of course the whole thing is predicated on Rav Yitzchak. You would have to burn them. Rav Zvit said, I mean, look, I mean, I can't say that you're wrong, but I mean, it could be a very simple other explanation. When it says over here that you have bones, I would say you found a pile. Not like this massive pile of bones. It was going to be carted away, right? So now you noticed that on the top, I mean, you didn't go through every bone, but you notice on the top that these bones have been broken open and they don't have anything in them. All their marrow has been taken out, right? So therefore, all that it's saying in this braisa is like this. If you're talking about a pile of bones of shlamim, where there is no iser of shviras etzem, and therefore we assume, I mean, look, if I just found a pile, I might have to worry that, oh my gosh, there's a pile of bones that are no sir. But I see the top of the pile are bones that are regular bones that were broken open, eaten properly, a kol b'seder. Boy, I've got another 400 bones here. Do I have to really look at every single bone in the pile? No. Don't worry about it. Because, I mean, this deal of Shimush Noser having the same din of Noser is not chomor like Noser Mamish. You can make the assumption that this is probably the whole pile is from Shlomim that people ate. You're not going to sit there and examine everyone. So there, since there's no Iser Shvira Satsim, so we assume that the Kulo have a Chalitzlu and thrown in the garbage, Vilbo Yisrefa. But if I know that I've got a large pile of bones from a Korban Pesach, so there I got a problem. Because over there is an Iser of Shvira Satsim. So then, I mean, even what I see over here has been removed. How do I know when that was removed? I mean, I'm going to assume that, look, certainly possible that it was broken afterwards. I mean, even if we're not going to say that people know the difference, and they definitely would need Sreifa. So I have to worry that some of these bones actually have in them Moach, because I can't be sure that the fact that the ones on the top don't have Moach tells me anything about what the situation is on the bottom. If I look at them and I find out that they're empty, says Rav Zvid, there I disagree with Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman says even if the atzomais of the Pesach are empty, that I would still have to worry about maybe they were emptied afterwards because the people thought that there would be no problem because it was already after it was Nifsal, and they didn't know that there was a din of the Shimush Notar. That I disagree with. I'm going to be so machmir. It's very possible that people, they emptied it before. I don't know. It's a suffix. And because of that, this chiyav of Shimush Notar is not going to be mechayev me to burn all the bones unless I see that they actually have Moach in them now. Okay, so that's a very tangential machlokas over here. But meanwhile, we have a clear understanding of how we can apply Shimush Notar to our Mishnah. Omer Avida Omer Rav. Let's move on. The next thing that it said in the Mishnah was Hagidim Ha'atzamot V'Hagidim. Which Gidim are we talking about? Because remember, again, Gidim could mean anything, right? Any type of stringy material, connective tissue. It could be nerves. It could be arteries, tendons, anything. It's called a Gid. Some of this stuff is edible. It's just not, yeah, it's not the kind of stuff that people generally will eat. But in a Korban Pesach, it's a mitzvah to eat everything. So, okay, we can include everything in the meat. Now, so let's think about what the Mishnah might have meant when it said Gidim, that I need to assume what is something contradictory. I need to assume that they're gittim that are edible. Because if they're not edible, why would I burn them, right? They're not designed in an os, so they're edible. Okay. Then why weren't they eaten? I mean, well, they weren't eaten because they became noser. Okay, so then it says noser in the Mishnah, right? So that can't be the case. It's got to be talking about gidim that I'm going to assume up front are going to be noser. And therefore, they're in this separate categories. We have the set of atzomas where up front we assume it's going to become noser because I can't break them open. Then there's gidim that up front I'm going to assume that they're going to be noser because what? I don't know. For some reason, they're not going to be eaten. I don't understand why. And then we have noser. Okay. Which accidentally turned out was left over. What gidim are gidim that I need to assume up front are going to be not eaten and yet edible and therefore noser? Okay, so in order to understand that, we take this statement of Amr Abiyud Amar Rav. You need to know all gidim of any type are considered to be meat. In other words, they can be included in the Kezias Basar that you're going to be giving out in your Korban Pesach. The only thing that would be too tough to be edible, and therefore is not considered to be meat at all, it's not edible, are Gidei Tzavar. Remember, we talked about Martika before, Martika being Gidei Tzavar, according to the Shita Gemara and Chulin, the Ha'alal in the list of all of those things, Ha'or Varotav and so on. The Alal was the Martika, but it's Gidei Tzavar. So all of those cases, that's not edible. You can't include that in the Kezias of your Korban Pesach. All right, now, based on that statement, we're going to look at our Mishnah. Let's look at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah obviously has this concept of various gidim that are meant not to be eaten or assumed not to be eaten, and nonetheless, they're considered to be edible enough to be mechayev you to burn them on the 16th as noser. Okay, tell me what we're talking about, please, will you? Hanigid nechidami. Are they gidim that are like edible meats? So then eat them. Well, I didn't get around to eating them. Okay, fine. So then you said noser. That's included under noser. So they've got to be some kind of gid that I know up front is not going to be eaten. Now, what would that be? Well, that would be gidei tzavar. They're just too tough to eat. Well, so if they're gidei tzavar, then if they are meat, theoretically, I just don't want to eat it. So if they are meat, so then I understand why I need to burn them. But if they're not meat, which is what Rav said, they're not meat, why do I need to burn them? Now, obviously, Rav is wrong based on this Mishnah. Because the Iamret Lav Basar Odinu, Lamalu Srefa. Om Rav Chista, no. It's not referring to the Gidim of the Tzavar. You're correct in saying either something is edible and can actually be eaten, or it's not going to be noser either. That's true. But how about if you have something that's perfectly edible but can't be eaten? How about a gid anasha? A gid anasha? Well, a gid anasha, the Torah didn't say is part of the Korban Pesach because they're not supposed to be eating the gid anasha. Yeah. But how about if you don't know that it's the gid anasha, but you suspect it's the gid anasha? What is that supposed to mean? I mean, just ask somebody. No. Because, you see, there's a shita that we had in Chulin that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only one leg has a gid anasha. You remember that machlokas about, well, did Esav look like a Talmud Chacham to Yaakov, you know? If it was a Talmud Chacham, he would tell him to go towards his right side. Because after all, I mean, you know, after all, when Esav comes into Elam Haba, he's dressed with a big black hat. You know, he looks beautiful. They need to send in very special malachim to get rid of him, you know. I mean, most people who look like that, you never know who they are. So, okay, so that's the question. Was he standing to the right or was he standing to the left? And then the question is, did he grab Yaakov from around the other side, got his left side, or did he grab his leg that was next to him, got his right side? And that makes a big difference because that's the only one that you're not allowed to eat. So Rabbi Yehuda says, gee, I don't know. I don't know it's only one. It's the single gid on Hashem. I don't know which one it is. Ah, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, you've got a real problem, right? Because since, according to him, we're not sure which one is the gid on Hashem, but only one of them is the gid on Hashem, you won't be able to eat either of them. But each one of them might not be the gid on Hashem. And since, by definition, if you're a gid hanasheh, we can never say, well, the real gid hanasheh, please stand up, because that's the whole point of being a gid hanasheh. So the etzah will only be to burn both of them, right? Because they are nosar. Aha, one is Nozer. That's what it's talking about. So Nitzra Elo Lagid Anasheh, a Liba to Rabbi Yehuda, and he says the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Enanoeg Elo Ba'achas, only one of those two legs has a Gid Anasheh. Now, I think Hadat Machrat Shal Yamin. It seems to me that it would be the right leg. Now, the Gemara over there said, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says it seems? Hadat. There's two dots. There's my personal dot. So that's the da'at note, like it seems to me. So I am inclined, note. I am inclined to think, we would say in English, mamish, the same word, was beautiful, da'at note. So I'm inclined to think that it's the right one, but inclined to think is not enough to go ahead and actually paskin, right? Or it may mean, no, the da'at of the Torah, now my analysis of the pasuk, is that it is the yamin. And that would be from the Hanasheh that Gemara talks about over there. There is a basis to suggest that there's a mashma'ut in the Pasuk Gufa, right? So the Gemara over there questions which one was Rabbi Yehuda saying. If it was dat noteh, so then he's not sure, even at the end. He just simply doesn't know. If it's dat Torah, he does know. And the Gemara over there asked, which one is it? And it didn't know. Now, if what you're saying is that Rabbi Yehuda is left with a doubt, because that's the only way you can figure it out over here, that our mission is referring to a Gid Anasheh, then it must be a doubtful Gid Anasheh. But then you have the answer to your question in the Gemara and Chulin, did Rabbi Yehuda mean dot, not that, didn't he mean dot, Torah, and over there we didn't bring a right. Aha! So therefore, that doesn't seem to be the right approach. Because Elatif Shat Esfukim Esafkin or Rabbi Yehuda, obviously it must be a suffix, because Imif Shat Pshitalei, if you know which one is which, so then eat the one that's mutter and throw the other one in the garbage because it's not nosar. So why are we burning it? Well, obviously, so that means that nobody understood this mission that way when we're talking about Erchulin. What's the problem? Maybe what happened was that you took out the two Gid Anasheh and you forgot to put on that little sticker that has the that radio thing in it that teaches you, stay away, this is Gid Anasheh. You got mixed up. So you knew which one was which. And Hukru, in the beginning, they were Hukru. Obviously, as Rashi points out, well, sort of by definition, it's Hukru. Because how many people do you know that can't tell the difference between their right and the left? That goes to show how wonderful life was at Rashi's period. But in any way, says Rashi. So the word Hukru is a little bit, you know, certainly it was Hukru. And then in the end, we forgot which one was the right one, which one was the left one. Ravashi says, we don't have to say that it's talking about the Gid Anasheh. There's another very simple answer. Suppose we know which one is the Gid Anasheh, okay? That we're not going to burn. But there's always going to be a problem. The problem over here is referring to the Shuman that covers the Gid Anasheh, which is Mutter Midirai. So the Tanya and the Braita, Shamno of the Gid Anasheh is Mutter, but Yisrael are such Kedeshim aim, they treat it as Isser because it's up against the Gid Anasheh. So therefore, what are you going to do? Midiraisa, this is edible. And because of that, it should have been eaten. And if it's left over, it's going to be Nosar. Now, I cannot eat it because, I mean, the Minag is Koveya over here. The Kala Yisrael was an Agomo Isser. So because of that, it is part of the set of things that are bound to become Nosar, like those Atzamos. And we list them separately from the Nosar. Atzamot Vagidim, meaning the Shuman of the Gid. Ravina says, look, there's a very simple solution. Gentlemen, you're forgetting the obvious solution. On each side of the animal, there are two sciatic extensions, okay, opening out of the lower part of the spine comes out this very thick nerve, and it breaks into parts. Now, part of it runs along the inside of the bone all along the thigh bone, and it is facing the other thigh bone. That is called the gid, which is hapnimi. It faces the inside of the animal between the two legs. Furthermore, it's the one that is samuch le'etzem. It's the one that runs along the bone itself. It's not buried in the meat. Now that is usur min yoraisa, and your chayovim alav, you'd be chayav malchus for eating it. But the other branch of the nerve, which goes through the muscle that's around the thigh bone, and it goes horizontally, comes around the other side, and it faces away from the middle of the animal, faces outwards. That is mutter minyaraisa, but it's osur minyarabana. So over there, the chitzona samuch labasar is osur, but you're not chayev on malchus. And when it's osur, that means that you're not going to be eating it in your korban pesach. And therefore, it's without coming onto Shuman Shogid, without coming onto Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't know which one it is. Very simple. There's always going to be the Gid HaChitzon that is meant to be eaten midiraisa, will not be eaten, cannot be included in the accidental notar, and therefore has its own category together with the Ratzamos. Perfect. Okay, now the Mishnah said, if the 16th comes out on Shabbos, then you have to burn it on the 17th. Why? Because Eino Docha Lo Ata Shabbat Velo Ata Yom Tov. Why? Understand, it's a mitzvah asay, midiraisa, right? Bisoreif atanotar be'esh. I didn't understand. What happened to that mitzvah? I mean, isn't there a general rule that asay doche lot asay? So why isn't the mitzvah of burning this doche the lot asay of burning things on yantiv? So neite asay v'yitche lot asay. So what would be the problem? I understand maybe Shabbos is different because over there it's an Issur Koras and it also has a mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu and so on. Fine, but Yom Tov? Omar Chizkiah, I'll tell you why it's not Doche Yom Tov. Chen Tana Devei Chizkiah, Omar Kro, Lo Totiru Mimenu Ad Boker, Vahanotar Mimenu Ad Boker. What's this Ad Boker? You already said Ad Boker. Just say, Lo Totiru Mimenu Ad Boker, Vanotar Mimenu Be'esh Tisrofu. And that indeed was the podcast I was referring to when I was telling you that there was a mitzvah saseh, Be'esh Tisrofu. Right there in that pasuk is the indication that you cannot burn it on Yontif. Why is that? Because She'ein Tamud Lomar Ad Boker. What's the point of repeating yourself Ad Boker? Ma Tamud Lomar Ad Boker, Liten Lo Boker Sheini. Not the first morning. The second morning is when you have to go and burn it. So that tells me it's not Doche Yontev. Fine. Abaye says, there's another reason why you can't burn it on Yontev. Omar Kra Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato. And what did we learn out from that? Shabbos things need to be done on Shabbos. But weekday things cannot be done on something that is Shabbos-like. So not olas chol b'Shabbat, not olas chol b'Yom Tov, and therefore, even when we said before that you're going to be makriv the emurim of the korban pesach balayla, we said that's referring to a hakrova where the erev pesach was chal on Shabbos, and then you were allowed to bring it on Yom Tov. Remember, but otherwise, erev Yom Tov is chol, unfortunately, and therefore you're not going to be able to do anything with it. Even the kosher parts, kosher and the nosar parts, you're not going to be able to burn on Yom Tov. So that's very simple. Rava says, look, take a look on Yontif. It says in the pasuk, Hu levado ye'aseh lecha. Anything that is asher ye'achel l'chol nefesh, anything that's going to be eaten, that alone. Now, what do you mean that alone, that who that you're stressing? Hu levado, that's coming to tell me who, only the thing itself can be docha. And not the makshirin. This, of course, was the big machlokas, right? Our makshirin mitzvah docha. Here the pasuk is coming out. Who? Not the makshirin. The thing itself that is absolutely necessary. And furthermore, velo mila shelo bizmana. Suppose you have a very big mitzvah. Is mila a big mitzvah? Absolutely. Is it a mitzvah that's big enough to be docha Shabbos? To be docha Yontev? Of course. Shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer? It's the famous kal v'chomer. If tzaras, which is docha avoda, and there's no way for Kohen to do avoda if he has tzaras, well, why not? Can't he just cut off the tzaras? No, because the Torah says he's shomer benega tzaras. You cannot cut off that tzaras. But I'm not going to be able to do the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Well, tough on you. Maybe do tshuva and stop talking all that lashon hara. Okay. So it's not going to help you. And that Aveda, do I do Aveda on Shabbos? Even though it's Bechal Shabbos? Yep. So my gosh, if the halacha is that Tzaras is Docha Mila, because if there's Tzaras on the Orla, we don't say Yishamer B'negat Tzaras. Cut it off. Okay, so then obviously it's going to be Docha Shabbos, because if it's even going to be Docha, the Avoda with Docha Shabbos. For sure it should be Docha. Therefore, the Pasuk has to bring me a special case, namely that even though Mila Bismana is done on Shabbos, but Mila Shalom Bismana, so let's say that you were too late, we were Mesupik, or it's a ger, it's the Mila of a ger, or of an Eved, whatever, that will not be Docha Shabbos. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that things that could be done, even though they're very chashuv mitzvahs, but they could be done later, so instead of doing it today, do it tomorrow. Don't do it on Shabbos. Okay, that's true about Sreifas Kachim. It's the same idea. You have a big mitzvah of anything that was nitotar, be'esh tisrofu. Thank you very much. When? Not on Shabbos, not on Yontav, because I can do it afterwards. It's not going to be more than Mila Shalom Bismana, right? Rav Ashi says a very simple solution to your question. This is not an issue of Esa Docha Lo Ta'aseh, my dear friend. This is a question of Esa Docha Lo Ta'aseh Ve'aseh. Because the mitzvah of Shabbaton that is mentioned on Yontev is a mitzvah, not a description. And therefore you have a mitzvah Aseh not to do Malacha on Yontev. It's an Isra Aseh along with the Lo Ta'aseh. And therefore, it's a general rule. Obviously, an assay maybe is more important than a lotasa. How can it be more important than a lotasa and an assay? So therefore, the question was irrelevant from the beginning, says Rav Ashi,